When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy, what if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Reverse makes it two defeats in two games and two matches in a row where we haven't found the back of the net. Time to worry, or are we getting too far ahead of ourselves? Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live here on your Sunday evening from the Valley. My name is Louis Mendes. We're going to be looking back at the 2-0 defeat up at Wigan yesterday on this evening's show. And joining me to do just that is Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
Good evening, yes, very good, thank you.
You all right? You recovered from yesterday's shenanigans just yet?
Yeah, still a bit frustrated, but yeah, one of those games, I think.
Yeah, one of those games that you never want to think about again. But we're going to think about it again for 90 minutes now, coming up on tonight's show. So we'll look back at the game. We'll hear the Valley Pass highlights very briefly. Obviously, there wasn't too many highlights, unfortunately, from a Charlton point of view. We'll hear the post-match reaction from manager Lee Bowyer. Plenty he had to say after the game yesterday. We also want to hear what you made of yesterday's performance. You can get in touch with the show, have your views aired on this evening's Charlton Live. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live Forum to have your say on yesterday's game. Let us know, where do you think it went wrong? What would you like to see changing over the next couple of weeks, if anything like that? What players you'd like to see getting more of a chance? What players perhaps you'd like to see getting less of a chance? Anything like that? Make sure you contact the studio. And now also, it seems to be all the talk these days, doesn't it? VAR is very much in the headlines. Even today, when I was prepping this sort of section of the show, getting the audio together, writing a little story about what Lee Bowyer had to say on the matter yesterday, while I was writing that, there was more VAR controversy in the game between Chelsea and Liverpool. So you know, Lee Bowyer was asked what he thought about VAR yesterday. I'm going to play that later on the show, but also want to know what you guys think about that. Would you like to see VAR introduced into the Championship? Because if we had it yesterday, we may well have had a penalty for a shove on Naby Sarr, or a pullback even on Naby Sarr, and it could have changed the game for us. So let us know. Email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live Forum to have your say on this evening's show. Benji, 2-0 defeat, second defeat in two games for the Addicts. Tough one to take yesterday. Did we get what we deserved?
Yeah, I guess you'd say overall we probably did. Looking at the course of the game, I don't think we were really outplayed as such. We just never got our rhythm going, to be fair. We look at the chances. Did Dylan have loads of saves to make? No, not really. We just got beaten by two corners. And the first one, look, he finishes it brilliantly from a great volley into the net. And the second one, he jumps above our defenders to head it in. So did we deserve to be beaten? Yeah, they took their chances. And over the course of the game, their chances were probably better than ours as well. And we just never really got going, did we, really?
Mm. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights of yesterday's game. Your commentators over on Valley Pass were Lewis Catt and Greg Stubley.
Williams, a neat ball. Williams going to get out of a bit of a cul-de-sac. He's done well. Out to the right, Osolaja. Takes it past Jacobs. Osolaja, ball in the box. Good one. Comes to Ahmed with a little touch. And wide. There's a decent ball in from Osolaja. Ahmed coming short. Just got a little flick, but couldn't divert it goalwards towards the edge of the penalty area. Looks at the 1-2 with Moore. It's a lovely back heel. Along with a strike straight at the goalkeeper. Now he's a bit under pressure in the end. Low when he had the shot. It's a lovely back heel for Kiefer Moore. But Charlton just struggling to get out of the half there. We're just placing the ball down. Puts his hands in the air. Swings it in. Decent looking delivery. And it's a touch for Dunkley. And Wigan have made it 1-0. A simple corner, really. Mulgrew with a great delivery. And Dunkley to centre half with a good finish. And Charlton will have to come from behind.
Yeah, unfortunately, simple stuff there. If corner comes in from Charlie Mulgrew, someone we know that's a bit of a dead ball specialist, gets in just at that far post. There was Dunkley, managed to meet it with his foot, drill it into the bottom left-hand corner. And Charlton, deservedly so, are 1-0 behind at the moment. And they're going to have to really get themselves going now. It's not been a good opening period from the Addicts. And they're going to have to really get their heads into this game to try and get level now. Larger. To get there, and shot there by Morsey, but stung the gloves of Dylan Phillips. But I think he will always have that covered.
Yeah, again, though, from a Charlton perspective, the fact Morsey was able to have that shot was disappointing.
That would have been an extremely soft penalty. Half time here at the DW, you can hear what Wigan fans think of the referee's performance in that first half. Shalaja, a nice battle there with Jacobs. Shalaja wins that battle and gets it to Josh Cullen. Gallagher, little flick lovely over ball. The top, brilliant ball drilled in by Shalaja. Was unfortunate, very unlucky. He's gone for a Charlton corner, but much better from the Addicts. Brilliant work by Deji Osolaja on that right hand side. We're going to want a good delivery here from Cullen. Cullen knocks the ball in. Oh, the shirt pull there. There's a massive shirt pull.
Oh, there's a shirt pull.
That's
there.
Unbelievable. Gallagher now. Gallagher does well to turn his man. He's got to have a go. Tom Lockyer, oh. He just feels it right. And Charlton will feel completely aggrieved there. There was a shirt pull. There was 100% in that box.
That has to be a penalty. Naby Sarr can't jump.
He's an in swinger. Tries to. Oh, it's back stick and it's off the post. Back stick, Mulgrew off the post. It's a great effort. And Massey with the ball now for Wigan.
Ball controls to left to Prattley. Good touch. Prattley in the box. Prattley, ball across goal as the flicks on, comes to the back post. Osolaja heads back inside to Bond, who touches. Goes for goal, McCauley. Bond straight at the goalkeeper. Just latched a little bit of power that from Bond, but there's nice hold up play in the first place to find Prattley. Knock this in the box as Jacobs looks towards the far post. It's a decent delivery. Dunkley rises. And Dunkley scores. Again, just a simple set piece. Dunkley rises highest and heads past Phillips to give Wigan a second.
It's almost deja vu. Again, ball, great ball in from, that was again by Sammy Morsey. And it ended up on the head of Che Dunkley again. Charlton will feel they could have done better there defensively. It's just, again, it's poor from set pieces. It's a long way back now, 2-0, 20 minutes to go. It's a bit of an uphill struggle if we're going to get anything from this game.
Larger down the line to Anike. Anike takes it past Robinson in the penalty area. Anike still with it. And now it comes to Gallagher with a shot. It's cleared away by Dunkley. Charlton fans, as Gallagher down the line to Lecco. Chip ball in the box. Lockyer with it. Oh, it's gone wide. What a chance for Tom Lockyer. That was the opportunity. Charlton, can it prove right, Ron? As Lecco towards the back post. Nico gets something on it. It's a shot from Lockyer. Great save. Comes to Gallagher with a shot. The Williams diverts it goalwards and is cleared away. How Charlton haven't scored there, I'll never know. Harrington towards the back post. Great ball. Cullen with a header. Oh, another great save from Marshall. Goes back. Lockyer with a shot over the bar. And what a save from David Marshall. Two outstanding saves. First one to block Lockyer. And then the header then from Cullen. It was an unbelievable effort to keep
it. Just going to keep hold of this. It's important for Wigan that they don't allow Charlton an unlikely consolation.
But that's not going to happen as it finishes here. Wigan 2, Charlton 0. Just not the addict state.
So that was it, the Valley Pass highlights of yesterday's defeat up at the DW Stadium. Goals in either half from Che Dunkley. Or Shay Dunkley. I saw a very funny tweet yesterday. What does Shay Dunkley actually call his house? Because most people, I'd call my house like Shay Mendes, but there you go. Anyway, on a separate matter, let's talk about the game. It was disappointing. We had chances, certainly. I think the better of them came by the time we were already two goals down, but there were a couple of openings. But it's just the fact that we don't really look like taking them at the moment. Now, obviously, everyone's pointing to the fact that Lyle Taylor's not there. But it probably goes a little bit deeper than that because there's players in that squad who should be able to score goals anyway, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. I think you're looking across the park to other people to step up. Once your main man is injured, then, like, look, Hemed's got his opportunity to show us what he can do now. Obviously, he's not fully match fit yet, but he's had a couple games now. And to be fair, he just hasn't shown us anything yet to get excited about. Lecco had a poor game yesterday. I thought he just looked a bit leggy, just didn't seem anything. He tried to produce his final end product, just wasn't good enough. But
the crossing for Lockyer, I guess, and won a corner towards the end of the first half. But yeah, there was times where it didn't quite come off for him. And that's when your flair players like him aren't getting the end results all the time that they're after, then sometimes it can be quite frustrating, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess last week we had Ozuma play. Again, didn't do too much. Johnny came in yesterday, looked lively at times, but they did put some heavy tackles in on him, didn't they? Mm. I think the ref was a bit slow to punish them for that. But yeah, I guess you look across there, I don't think Johnny scored for us yet either, has he? Mm. So you're looking around the pitch for goals. I know Gallagher's chipped in a few already this year. Just don't seem to be coming at the moment, do they? Mm,
certainly. I mean, there were two goals yesterday, of course, both unfortunately for Wigan Athletic, and it was Dunkley carbon copy almost of each goal because there were corners over towards the far post. The first one you're looking at, it looks like Deji Oshalaja sort of man marking, then Gallagher's coming back to try and sort of get into that area, but somehow it sort of dropped on the edge of the 6-yard box and volleyed home. I mean, that's the sort of defending that, I mean, Bo says it himself in his post, we're not really used to that. I think we conceded from a set piece against Blackburn and against Forest, but it's not something we've seen too often over the course of the last year or so. So it was surprising to see us one that soft, be volleyed home by a central defender.
Yeah, I guess you can put it down to both players are probably looking at the man rather than looking at the ball. So rather as Dunkley's followed the trajectory of the ball coming down, checked it back and just smashed his leg at it. Great finish into the corner. Rather Oshalaja could maybe see that where it's going a bit more and try and clear our lines. But I guess we made a hash of both corners, and I think they also had another corner which they hit the post with as well.
Yeah, hit the post on the far side. That was a really sort of difficult chance, but did quite well to direct it back. And then, so having conceded one like that in the first half, then we've just bought on an EK and Macaulay Bond, and then you're thinking, right, we need to make sure we're tight here so we can have a run at trying to find a leveller in the last 20 minutes. And then it's a very similar one, and that is going to cause, you know, ask some questions again, the fact that's happened twice in one game.
Yeah, as you said, I can't remember too many times where we've been beaten by corners or looked susceptible to conceding at a corner. But yeah, I mean, again, the guy who's taken it is regarded as one of the best set-piece specialists in the league, and Charlie Mulgrew. So are we looking at it and think, do you know what, they were two good balls into the box, or is it something Bayer's now going to try and address in the week? But again, it's maybe, are we looking at, we change the back four for this game, and are people not used to their positions setting up for a corner? So Is it is it a case of that? To be fair,
we'll discuss that more. I mean, looking at the performance itself throughout the first half in particular, I mean, as well as I felt that Wigan weren't creating too much from open play, but I felt, you know, reasonably solid defensively. But then obviously let ourselves down at set pieces. But going the other way, I mean, Bowyer will say it himself in his interview, but we were not putting passes together. We were giving the ball away quite a lot within our own half. There was one where, again, it was Oshilaja, actually. I feel like I'm picking on him, which is bad because I quite like him as a player, but it was one where he gave it away, I think, to Jacobs in the inside our own half, and he had to be sort of let off the hook by Darren Prattley. You know, just our passing and movement, it was disappointing that when we were getting into their half, we weren't creating too much of it, but it was very rare that we were getting into their half because we just couldn't seem to keep the ball. I mean, was it Wigan pressing us a little bit, putting us under a bit of pressure? Was it just that we just were not at the races?
I think it was a bit of both, really. I think Wigan are a well-drilled side. They did press us well. But yeah, we just didn't seem to string a few passes together. I mean, we had Field there last week, and I think Field played well up until the second half, where he did made a mistake for the goal against Birmingham. So again, it's different players in different roles. We didn't see the normal Josh Carlin making his bursting runs forward. Again, I think Wigan looked at that area and probably thought, here we go, Charlton are good in this area. So they did press us high up the field. And even when we tried to get down the wing, they had two pacey fullbacks and they were stopping Lecco get down. Yeah, we just couldn't get our momentum going. It was a flat first half. I think our best chances came towards the end of the first half, didn't they, in that injury time?
Yeah, we forced a couple of corners towards the half-time interval. But again, without really actually doing anything with them is probably fair to say. I mean, there were points that could have been turning points in that game, and we mentioned again, I mean, that ball on Naby Sarr as the corner came over, and that ended up with it falling to Gallagher outside the box. His shot fell into the path of Tom Lockyer, who perhaps, I mean, if that falls to a striker, you're thinking that's a goal. It falls to a defender who sort of dragged it wide. But first of all, I mean, the pull on Naby Sarr, you've seen it back a couple of times. I mean, all the fans behind the goal saw it in real time as well. I mean, it was a clear pull. And how the referee didn't see that, big questions being asked there.
Yeah, it's blatant. I mean, as you said, the ref standing right there, what more do you need to do to get a penalty? He's just pulling at Naby's shirt, especially the ball was coming right in that area as well. Guy's not looking at the ball at all, just pulled Naby's shirt. And it's just, as we're saying, going to talk later on about VAR, it would have been a blatant penalty on VAR, no question about it. And yeah, Lockyer, I know it just comes to him, but it would be gutted he hasn't put that on target, really.
Yeah, I mean, that corner all came about after what was actually quite a nice move down the right from Oshilaja. And this is where I do like Deji. I think getting forward down the right-hand side, he can look quite lively. And he put in a really tasty-looking cross, and Hemed was sort of lurking there, and Dunkley did really well to put it over his own bar. So he's not just scoring goals, he's actually defending them quite well as well. But that was the flash of incisive play that we hadn't seen at all, really, other than a couple of times in the first half. And we started to see a little bit more of, in particular when we were 2-0 down, but perhaps didn't see enough of it throughout the course of the game.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, we as away fans, I can't remember too many times where we kind of got off our seats, like, here we go, a good chance, like, let's keep singing, we're going to make another chance here, because straight away after that, we didn't counteract on taking the ascendancy in the game, we just went flat again and they came at us. So yeah, I like Deji going forward. He's a powerful guy, and he put in a couple good crosses yesterday. I think his marking was a bit poor yesterday, but other than that, those were our kind of chances where we kind of got us a bit fans off our seats and thought, here we go, but we just never gained on from that.
Yeah, and David Marshall in the Wigan goal did make two or three excellent saves once it was 2-0, and you just think, again, I mean, it's tight margins in games. If one of those goes in, then all of a sudden we're up, and you know, we've broken our, I'm going to call it a goal duck of two games. Like, you know, we've got a goal. We've proven that we can do it without Lyle Taylor. I mean, obviously, one of the main talking points yesterday was the fact that obviously we know we're without Taylor now for what people are saying 8 to 10 weeks now. That's the first numbers I've seen put on it, and you know, we've no idea if they're accurate because no one from the club has come out and said that publicly. But if we are, then we know we're going to have to rely on certain players. I mean, one we saw yesterday, Hemed, he had a chance early on where, again, it was Deji who'd got down the right-hand side. I'm not sure if you would have been able to see quite how clear-cut a chance that was from the away end, but he did have a little bit of space sort of around the penalty spot when that cross came in, but he just didn't get his timing right and he just sort of dragged it wide. But I mean, are you seeing more from Hemed yet from what you're expecting? Is it still too early days? I mean, we're looking at his second start now. It's still, obviously, he's no Lyle Taylor, but no one is apart from Lyle Taylor, unfortunately. So what are you thinking about his sort of early performances so far?
Yeah, in a way, I guess it is unfair to judge him because he's only two games in. But the pressure is on someone like that now because although he probably, again, well, no one expected him to like be playing regularly now because of Lyle's injury. He is. So the pressure is on him to prove himself. I personally, I don't think he's doing too much. I think he can be doing better. He can be putting himself about a little bit more, but yeah, it's just, what do we do? Do we try another formation to help him? Do we put another striker up there with him? Because sometimes Leko's up there with him, but then sometimes Leko's on the wing, which is more his position. Or do we try and start with Bond next week? Or trying to start with Aniki? Because I don't think Aniki has started yet. But at the moment, I don't think he's done enough yet, Hemed. He doesn't look sharp enough, does he?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, I mean, decisions to be made then. So, I mean, the only way he's going to get his match fitness is by playing games. Boya sort of talked about how he doesn't really see Aniki as playing the same sort of striker role. He sees Aniki more as a 10 and Hemed more as a 9. So you can see why it's probably set up that way. Do you agree with that? Do you think Aniki could play the main striker role? Would you like to see him on up there alongside Tommy Hemed?
I'd maybe like to see him alongside Bon up there. I know we saw it very briefly yesterday. And to be fair, when they both come on, I thought they both looked lively yesterday. You can see Bon was lacking a bit of confidence because there was one chance where Bon seemed like he was through. If he hits it first time, could have a good shot on goal, but he squared it. And we're talking about a guy who scored a lot of goals last season. Look, I know it was non-league, but you'd think a striker in a good area like that would shoot first time and go for it. But, yeah, I mean, we are obviously lacking some options up there. But if we can mix it up, maybe trying to help him by putting players closer to him, I don't know, Hemed. But he just seems to be a bit non-existent up there.
Mm.
Whether that's down to not getting the service, but he just doesn't seem to be doing enough to warrant a place. I guess a lot of people are looking at other options, calling for Bond to start next week. I saw a Twitter poll. People said they'd like Bond to start next week. But it's how we can work him starting, because Bond will probably exactly do the same because he's not a big presence, is he? So if you did have someone like Aniki in front of him, that could work. But Leeds are quite a physical big side, aren't they, as well? So.
Yeah, I forgot we've got Leeds coming up next. Yeah, that'll be a very tough one. Yeah, I mean, well, we'll put it out there, of course. We talked about it a little bit on Thursday, but we still would like to know who you would like to see up front with Hemed or instead of Hemed. You know, how would you like to play it? Obviously, you've got Macaulay Bourne, who's a bit of a unknown quantity still at this level, fair to say. Aniki, who hasn't started yet, but has looked lively at times, has had quiet games other times when he's come off the bench. So, you know, let us know. Studio at charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum to have your say on which strikers you'd like to see involved over the next few weeks. I mean, Aniki, we have to talk a little bit more about him because he was more lively yesterday. He had one of his more busy games when he came on. I like him as a player. I think he's got a presence, but he seems to like to run with the ball. He's quite direct. You know, again, a player who scored a lot of goals last season. So we know he can finish. I personally would like to see a bit more of him now. I think the time is now for him maybe even to be pushing for a start.
Yeah, I think he's offering more. Obviously, he's a bit deeper, but he's offering more than Hemed. And yeah, he's a presence. So can we use that strength that he's got to our advantage? He came on against Reading and for me helped us to get, well, we got our second goal, we're winning the penalty. But at a time where Reading started to press us, Aniki come on in that game and looked really lively. But we've had some Jekyll and Hyde performances from him of late when he's come off the bench. he's looked at, oh, yeah, thinking, oh, last week you looked really good against Reading, and like this week you like poor touch, bouncing off his feet. You're thinking, ah, oh. And then yesterday, as you said, he come on. We're like, look, we were on the ascendancy with him coming on and looking lively, but he's got to be allowed a chance to show what he can do from the start. And Hemed's had two lots of 90 minutes. Is, well, maybe the answer is playing Aniki just behind Hemed or up there with him to try and help him, or trying another striker up there with him as well. But yeah, I think you've got to be fair to the guy and give him a start, give him 90 minutes to show what he can do.
We talked about Jonathan Lecco a little bit earlier, but another one of our players who you'd expect to be the man running forward with the ball, creating those chances, is of course Johnny Williams. We know all about him as a player. He did get a fair bit of rough treatment yesterday. There was a couple of times he was down, having been challenged heavily. There was one actually by Sam Morsey, sort of in the first half, where I was shocked that Morsey didn't get a yellow card, and then minutes later Morsey did get one. For a foul on someone else, can't remember who. And I was thinking, well, really, he should have been off the pitch, in my opinion, anyway. But, I mean, Williams, if the other team sort of know what to expect from him, I guess they go and try and make it as hard as possible for him.
Yeah, I guess Wigan are known to be a physical side, aren't they? So they're obviously going to target someone like him who they know he kind of plays a free role across the middle there, doesn't he? Give him the ball. Head down and he goes. Yeah, we didn't see that too much from him yesterday, but he did get hit quite a few times by them. So yeah, I guess teams like that do target a player who they know is going to be a danger to him. And yeah, so I read the manager's comments. He was quite quite positive about us before the game, and said that we're obviously a quite credible side. And yeah, he seemed to do his homework, because he kept our players quite quiet, didn't he?
Yeah, he certainly did. We talked about a couple of changes. There was four changes in total. I mean, I said on Thursday, you know, Jason Pierce had suffered a slight niggle, so we weren't sure whether he was going to play. Now, he didn't play, although, again, interesting comments from Bayer after, because I'm not sure it's entirely due to the niggle. I feel like there was a little bit of, well, you know, Sar's a decent player. There's no point taking a risk. I don't mind rotating just to keep everyone fresh. Comments on Naby Sarr yesterday. I mean, obviously, if I'm looking at the goals, I mean, I don't think either of the goals came from his man, so I don't think you can really be blamed for that. But I mean, I saw we've got a couple of comments that are coming in, which we're going to come to later about him. What your views on him?
Yeah, he did look a bit shaky, didn't he? He was like the old Naby Sarr, came out a little bit, where we're kind of, when he gets the ball, we're just a bit nervous about it. And I mean, his ball distribution is brilliant. Like, we saw it last year. He can play some quality balls. But yeah, yesterday he did seem a bit shaky. His awareness around him was a bit... what's the word?
It was a bit off.
He was a bit off.
The only thing I will say is, you mentioned it yourself at the start of the show. I'm still thinking, like, in terms of open play chances, other than long shots, we did deny them too many, and it was set pieces that was our downfall yesterday. I think there was 1-1-2 with Jamal Lowe and Akiefa Moore on the edge of the box in the first half, where they had their first effort on goal. I still think it's a weird one for us, because normally we're so good at set pieces, and wouldn't normally expect to be carved open, but it felt like it was the opposite yesterday. Like, certainly we were softer at set pieces. I think overall, I don't think we were too bad in terms of setting up at the back. It's just for some reason we were asleep at set pieces, and not ourselves going forward in the first half, which was slightly frustrating to see. Deji came in for Solly. I mean, I'm guessing that wasn't for an injury. Bose didn't say anything about an injury. I mean, judging the merits of Deji over Solly, I mean, obviously we've got Adam Matthews in the wingers as well.
Yeah, I guess it comes down to, as you say, Boya's trying to manage the players a lot better. The Championship's probably a more physical and a more demanding league. So players that we've seen over the last few years that do pick up niggles and maybe can't do three games in 7 days. I know we haven't had that the last week, but we've got that coming up. So are we trying to keep players a bit more fresh, like Jason Pierce, who's suffered with injuries before? Obviously, Solly's well known for the injuries he had. So it's a bit of giving a player a go maybe and seeing how they're going to react. But also, I mean, Kiefer Moore, he's a big guy, isn't he? So, and they're a strong side. So was Bo trying to set up in a way that, like, we'll go physical toe-to-toe with them to stop them having many chances? But it's hard, isn't it? I mean, we're only a few games into the season, and these players haven't had much games to draw confidence from. I mean, Naby hasn't played much, so he's coming into the game a bit raw. Do we use some of these players to play in under-23 games to build up a little bit of match fitness? I know Leeds obviously have been in the news last week for playing a lot of experienced players in their under-23 games to get them ready for the full games. So should we be doing that? So when these players come in to step in for niggles that Pierce has had and Solly may have, do we get these players ready in these games so that when they do come in, if they are making mistakes, they can't be like, oh, I was a bit rusty because I'm not match fit or whatever. I think we did see a bit of that yesterday from Oshalaja and Saar. They did seem a bit rusty because the last game I saw Oshalaja play, was it the Forest game at home? And he was brilliant down there. Like, I thought it was brilliant going down the wing, whereas yesterday he did seem a bit rusty.
Someone else who came in yesterday was Darren Pratley. He got given the captain's armband. He was involved in a bizarre incident in the first half. Now, obviously, we know there's this a few new rules that have come in this year, like the fact that you can you don't have to be outside the box when it's your team's goal kick, for example. Another one is the uncontested drop ball rule. Now, this is a weird one in terms of when the referee has had to stop play for an injury, which we saw yesterday. Normally, the referee, last season, if it's a drop ball, normally a team will put their hand up and say, you had the ball, let the ref drop it at us, I'll kick it down to your goalkeepers. Now, sometimes there's a disagreement between the players and then they'd have a contested drop ball. So every now and then you see last season, the referee would drop the ball, two players would kick at each other, it's quite entertaining, then the ball will bounce away and we carry on. Now, because they've now changed the rules and it's now an uncontested drop ball, it means it's up to the referee to decide who's going to take the ball. Now, the situation yesterday was in the first half, and I can't actually remember who had possession, but judging by it, I think Wigan had possession, but Charlton were more than happy, or perhaps it was slightly contested in the middle of the park, and the referee had stopped the play anyway. So Charlton said, we will give you the ball back. So they thought that the referee was going to drop the ball to Darren Pratley and we were going to kick it back. Then the referee made it clear that he was going to drop it to Wigan, Michael Jacobs, I think it was. So Pratley said to the captain, Sam Morsey, the Wigan captain, look, we'll kick it back to you. Why don't you just get Jacobs to touch it to me and I'll boot it down. And it appeared that had been agreed, judging by the reaction of Darren Pratley as Michael Jacobs took the ball and ran past him. Pratley, I could tell, I'm a lip reader, but it's not something I could say on the show. I could tell what Pratley called him as he was chasing him. Now, Michael Jacobs has a dreadful shot. It goes miles off target. You can see it coming a mile off. Pratley's still running after him, and he just barges into him with his chest. Now, Jacobs doesn't make too much of it, but then another Wigan player, I think it was there, Williams, comes up to him. Has a go at him. Pratley sort of puts his hand on his head and sort of to shoo him off, and the guy goes down like he's been shot. Now, I mean, as a controversial incident, luckily the referee decided not even to dish out a yellow card there, but it poses a lot of questions about this new drop ball rule, because I don't think it's really been realised that the reason you had contested drop balls in the first place is because sometimes you can't decide whose ball it is. So sometimes the two teams are going to disagree, and sometimes the referee is going to make a decision to give a team a chance to have a free run at the edge of the box from within our half. Now, that doesn't seem right, does it?
Seems a bit ridiculous, to be fair, because if you're getting the ball in that position where they were in our own half, then we've got to set up our lines quickly, and they're straight away on the ascendancy. As you said, the way Pratley was playing it, look, I'll just kick it back to you from your defensive line. That's fair. You can't just, I mean, he said it was a referee's choice to stop the play because of something. Like, you can't do that, surely. I mean, we're not all set up for it.
Yeah, well, there we go. We need to think about, right, we've lost two games now. The unthinkable has happened. We're 8 games into the season. So we're down to 7th. It's still early days. I just wonder if we've lost the last two games in a row. If, say, we'd lost our third game and then we lost our 7th game and then yesterday we got a point. So we'd had exactly the same results but spread over a different sort of run. Obviously, we wouldn't be feeling as low as we are now. There's also the fact that we're doing it without Lyle Taylor, and that's been the clear difference between the previous six games and the last two. It's the fact that we've lost our star striker and all of a sudden we haven't scored two goals. So it's hard to work out if we're overreacting because everything's happened in the last 2 weeks, or do we need to just try and put everything in perspective and think, look, we have started well. We have shown that we can play in this division. Of course, we're going to have to show it without Lyle Taylor, but we have shown, you know, Lyle Taylor is 1/11th of a football team. We've shown that 10 out of the 11 players over the first six games have been good enough.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think at the end of the day, these last two games that we've lost, we haven't got battered by a team in it. We haven't got overruled by possession or, like, as I said yesterday, I can't think of any saves that Dylan really was made into where he thought, cool, I'm glad he saved that one. Otherwise, that was going in. So we can take positives from the fact that, look, yesterday was 2-0, two corners, we've been beaten by Birmingham game was 1-0. We're not getting beaten big by these teams at all. We're still showing our worth in a league where it is tough. We've only just been promoted, so we got to remember that. It's a whole new squad getting together. We haven't had a consistency with the lineup last few games because of injuries as well. I don't know if there was an injury to Otsumi yesterday, but I was disappointed not to see him on the bench because the Nottingham Forest game, he looked brilliant. Last week, he was a bit flaky in his performance, but another player who brings a bit of excitement. I don't think we had that yesterday. There was nothing on the bench really that we could bring on. Normally you bring on three subs, don't you, when you're going for the game. Unfortunately, we didn't have that yesterday. But yeah, I think we can take positives from it. As you said, the last two games we've lost and the first six games we went undefeated, so it's kind of, if those losses were in between there, we'd have a different mindset. Football's all about confidence, isn't it? And if you lose your last two games, your mindset changes, and then you start thinking, oh, we're going to lose the next game. But yeah, I think our next three games now are bigger games, aren't they? We've got Leeds coming up now, who are obviously favourites to get promoted, so it's how we can change our mindset around, because the quality is there. We've seen that in the first six games. It's how we can turn
it
around.
Don't read too much into the fact it was Wigan's first win since the opening day. They'd had a struggling season. Do you worry too much about that early season form? I mean, teams in the Championship, we know they can beat anyone, can beat anyone. It's probably way too early to start saying, oh, Wigan must be relegation fodder because they'd had a slightly difficult start to the season. But you know, do you read too much into that at this moment?
No, I don't read too much into that at all. I think, look at the bottom two in the Championship at the moment. Huddersfield and Stoke with 1 point, and Stoke have got 2 points. I mean, look at the quality of those two squads, and they're right down the bottom. So I think it's still very early doors. It's still so hard to call. And as you say, anyone can beat anyone. And it wouldn't surprise me, Charlton being Charlton, you lose two games like that and go and beat Leeds at home next week, and then everyone will forget about those two losses and we'll be on a confidence buzz again.
Right, excellent stuff. Right, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer in a few seconds' time, but don't forget, we want to know what you think as well of yesterday's performance. Who stood out for you? Who would you like to see in or out of the team? Anything like that, email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Life Forum to have your say on yesterday's performance. Now, I caught up with the manager, Lee Bowyer, after yesterday's game, and the Addicts boss said that disappointing wasn't a strong enough word to describe his side's display.
Yeah, disappointing is an understatement. It's the worst we've played since I've been in charge. First 45 minutes was so bad, we couldn't put three passes together, and that ain't us. And to lose the game on two set pieces, which is also not us. We normally defend so well on set pieces, but centre half scores two goals. A volley from inside the 6-yard box shouldn't be possible. Header from inside, free header from inside the 6-yard box shouldn't be possible. So yeah, really disappointed. But we created chances and enough chances to get something from the game, for sure. But we're just not ruthless enough in front of goal today. And last week was the same. So, yeah, the keeper made some great saves. We should have had a penalty. Foul on Naby in the second half. So, yeah. But for me, just not good from start to finish. There's no positives, really. That's the worst we've played since I've been in charge, and wasn't good enough.
What do you think has been the difference over the last couple of weeks? Of course, Lyle Taylor's out, but I don't think just one player can explain everything.
No, because we still created chances. So, yeah, nothing's really changed. We're still creating chances, but we're just not taking them. We had enough chances to win the game last week, and I think today, I think Tom Lockyer could have had a hat-trick. So, yeah, we have to be more ruthless. That's as simple as that. For as bad as what we played, we still should have got something out of the game.
Obviously, after the start you had, it'd be way too early to start getting carried away having two defeats as well.
Yeah, like I said, this is going to happen in this division. That's why I was saying, what, 3-4 weeks ago, people being stupid when they're making suggestions, like we're going to, oh yeah, be in the promotion, try and get promotion, and we'll be in the hunt for it, and people just talking pure rubbish. It's a tough league, and we're going to come to places like this, and it's going to be difficult for us. You have to earn the right to play and win games, and today we didn't do that.
You were forced to make a couple of changes today, in particular with Jason Pearson. You said towards the end of last week he had a slight knock. Was that what kept him on the bench today?
Not really. Obviously, he's got a bit of a niggle, but I've got to look ahead. We've got Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday next week, so I have to try and have everybody as fit as they possibly can be for them three tough games. So, yeah, but Naby's come in, and Naby's a good player. Not weakened us in any way. So, yeah, it was just something that I thought that was the right thing to do. You lose Pearce today and he's out for 3 weeks, and all of a sudden we've got one centre half that's got to try and play Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. It's difficult.
You talk about that tough week that's coming up, and as you said, you're able to sort of move your squad around a little bit for it, but it just shows the division that you're in now that these are the weeks you're going to have.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think every game, like games that we've gone and won, have been tough. The last two we've lost have been tough. So there ain't going to be no easy ones. And nothing changes for us. Our aim is to stay in the division. I've been saying it from day one. Nothing's changed. So, we'll be okay. We'll be fine, I'm sure.
And just finally from me, there's no Otsuma and no Kyle in the squad today. Are they both okay? Or?
Who, sorry?
Aaron Otsuma and no Beren Kyle.
No, because at the moment Ben Puritan's got a bit of an injury as well. So I had to leave someone at home, and I thought I had to cover the defensive situation on the bench. So I left Otsuma at home, and Kayao he pulled out after training yesterday. So yeah, he's saying he's groin. So yeah, he wasn't fit for today.
Thank you.
Could you expand a little bit on the penalty incident? What was it in particular that you thought was a penalty? Was it the Naby Sarr?
Yeah, Naby Sarr, yeah. So Naby Sarr run off their defender and he blatantly just pulled him back. It's blatant penalty. Refs looking straight at it, don't know why he don't give it. And that was at 1-0. And the game changes then, you know. So, but that's a small detail in 90 minutes. We didn't do enough to win that game today. Create chances, didn't take. And then they would've lost 2-0, and we wasn't good enough to that.
It was a bit of a touchy game. Obviously, both teams felt that they had decisions that go against them in the sense that they didn't get what they thought they deserved. There was that little scuffle between Prattley and Williams. It just didn't seem like a game that was ever really getting started. It just kept on being a stop start, particularly in the first half anyway.
Well, it was very similar to last week's game. But you've got two teams that want to win and they do everything that they can to win the game. So did they do anything wrong? I don't think they did. I think they're trying to win the game and just as much as we are. So I've got no complaints with the way they played. We had two teams that put their bodies, two sets of players that put their bodies on the line and try to win, and they came out on top.
With Macaulay Bond, he came on during the second half. Do you see him getting more starts, or are you still thinking that he needs to come off the bench more and gradually get into it?
Yeah, I think we need to bed him in. I think he's improving. For his movement today, he got into a great area, should have shot. But that's where we need to improve him, in that little, that final split second decision making. Just tidy up in them areas. But his movement was good, which obviously is something we've been working on. So yeah, he's heading in the right direction. Like I said when we signed him, at the end of the day, we've got to be patient with him.
What do you make of his progress between when he first signed to now? You know, adding him in as a long-term project, someone who you feel that can obviously have the potential to do a lot more. What do you make of his progress since he first signed?
I think his progress has been good. I think he's improved quicker than I thought he would. He's taken on board what we're telling him. So for me, his progress is good. He's moving in the right direction. I think you'd see out there today and against Barnsley when he come on, he caused a bit of a problem with his movement. So like I said, just need to improve that final bit, because he can finish, the lad can finish. So we've just got to tidy up on other parts of his game. But it's not fair to chuck him in when he's not fully ready.
Got Leeds next, obviously a team that you played some of your career at, and it's going to be a tough game obviously with Leeds pushing for promotion. Going into that game, what are your thoughts on how you're going to come up against a team like that? How are you going to prepare?
The same as I would any other game, nothing changes. I'm going to prepare to try and win the game. Just like I did for this week, just like I did for last week, just like I did for the six or five games before that, nothing changes. They're a good team. So are Wigan. Every team's got strengths, every team's got weaknesses. So that includes us. So that, nothing's going to change. We're still going to prepare as professional as we can for Leeds on the weekend.
These drop ball restarts seem to be causing a bit of... Nobody seems to know what the etiquette is.
No, to be fair, and it wasn't good, was it? Because their fella, like, the ref told our player to go away, and we was going to give it back to him. It was obviously their ball,
yeah.
So we was going to kick it back to him, like what normally happens. But then the ref said we have to go away, and then so our player obviously thought that they was going to give it to us to kick it back, you know, but. Obviously not, then the lad just run through and had a shot. It's like, hold on, is this a new rule? Like, can you just let him do that? Ref's telling our player to move out of the way so he can just go and run and have a free shot. Like, that ain't right. Yeah, I think something needs to be done about that. Why change it? Just keep it how it was. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Trying to fix something that ain't even broken. So, everyone knew the rules before, like, it, if it's their ball, then you kick it back to them and then you play again. But now it's complicating things. But maybe someone's bored somewhere. They just want to tamper with it. I don't know. It's crazy.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's shot.
Yes!
Oh,
it's
goals! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo!
Dreamland!
Cullen has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, too.
Get in!
Come on!
What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live.
So, welcome back. This is Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. The Addicts boss, Lebo. You're talking to myself and a couple of others after yesterday's defeat. Up at Wigan Athletic. Described it, you know, I think in particular the first half, as the worst we've played since he's been in charge. I mean, do you think that's fair? I can't remember too many worse than that, to be honest.
Yeah, he sounded so down, didn't he? well, it's when someone says that, you're like, normally you turn around and we've gone, oh, blimmin' it, that's the worst I've seen us play in, like, ages. Normally that's when you're coming back after a game of you lost 4-5-0 or something. I mean, yesterday we lost 2-0 to two set pieces, and I think it was just the case we didn't get off our seats to kind of think, here we go, oh, like, we didn't have any of them, did we? Really? So yeah, he just sounded so frustrated, didn't he, yesterday? Yeah. That we just didn't really, we weren't ruthless enough, and then yeah, the chances we did create, we just didn't make enough of them, and he sounded so disappointed. Yeah,
talking about Berham Kyle not being able to travel, hopefully that's something just minor by the sounds of it. But I mean, it would have been interesting to see if he would have come on yesterday, Jake Forster-Caskey, instead on the bench. You know, would he have been able to make a difference yesterday if he was available?
I wouldn't think so. Not being rude to Jake or anything, but he's more of a defensive midfielder, I'd say, really, isn't he? Whereas Kyle's come to us as an attacking midfielder, so he's definitely one we'd be looking to bring on in an opportunity when we're trying to chase a goal. So that is really frustrating in itself, that again he's not able to play, because we've had him for a while now, and just when he was able to play, he's now not able to play again. So you can understand why Bo's frustrated about that.
Yeah, he talks about Macaulay Boyne as well. I mean, we've touched on him already, but sounds like he's impressed with what he's seen in terms of an improvement from the start of the season. He's going the right way. Hopefully he'll be in a position where, you know, because we do need other options off the bench as a striker, so hopefully he'll be able to be one that can be involved a little bit more as well. And like I say, Chucks as well, Hemed needs a few more games. So let's just hope that this goal blip, as we'll call it, two games, let's not get carried away, will end soon. Hopefully we'll get four against Leeds. That seems like the thing to do. Now, 100% Charlton sent us a tweet yesterday asking us to talk about the poll that they did on Twitter. 74% of his respondents, of his 367 respondents, would like to see Macaulay Bond start against Leeds on Saturday. I think, do you think that is a lot of people just thinking, I'd like to see, you know, something a little bit different? I mean, with all due respect to Macaulay, we've seen him twice in two sub appearances, probably seen him for about 40 minutes in total. He hasn't scored yet, of course. He hasn't really had many chances. He had a couple of ones yesterday, one on the turn from the edge of the box, and I'd say that one where he went through one on one, where he probably should have shot. But, you know, I think the fact we haven't scored, I think that's sort of colouring people's opinion as to why we would like to see a change.
I think straight after a game, as well as when he's done the part, we're all frustrated, aren't we? We're all thinking, oh, I've gutted that we didn't win. So we're jumping at an opportunity to think, all right, quick, shove him in. Yeah, he could be the answer. He's a raw talent. He hasn't been tried. He's now in the championship. So, I mean, he's someone we can get excited about. He's fast. He gets in behind the defenders. Looking at a few of his goals last season, he scored some great goals. I know that, again, it's non-league, but we've got to give these players a go. So we've had two performances from Hemed now, home and away. And he hasn't really given us anything to go for yet. So do we give Bon a chance? Well, he is someone that, as I say, he's a nippy striker, gets in behind, but he hasn't had much match fitness. So is Bowie attempted? I don't know if we've got an under-23s game tomorrow. Do we give Bon a go in that? Give him a bit of confidence, see if he can score and see how he does. And then if he does well, give him a go Saturday.
Should have played him in the Vets game today, just get his minutes up.
Yeah.
Right, Mitch tweeted in yesterday, just back home from the DW, think this fella said it all, and it's just a picture of someone who appears to be asleep in the stand at the DW stadium. Jamie says, Dylan Phillips and Naby Sarr both are not good enough for the championship. Amos deserves a go. I mean, we haven't mentioned Dylan at all yet, but I mean, nothing really stood out for me from yesterday about him not doing something right. I mean, you look at the two corners, they were probably ones that you'd expect. They weren't that close to him. I mean, was there anything particularly that stood out for you from Dylan yesterday?
I don't remember ever thinking that he was having a bad game, to be fair. It's hard to call from a corner like that because it's so congested. The only other thing, if he tried to call for it, I don't think he did. Again, it's a whole new back four in front. Well, not a whole new back four, but you had Naby and Deji fitting in there, so it's how obviously the keeper's trying to set up the defence for the corner. But no, I can't criticise Dylan at all from yesterday.
Thanks for that, Jamie. Talks about Naby already. The Wave says Anike looked well, lively, strong, fast, confident, and Heskey like, but with awareness. He changed the dynamic and he should start. We don't look right up front. Lecco as a wild card could be used as a late super sub. Also, diamonds are not forever. 4-4-2 with a flat midfield could rebalance things. Yeah, I mean, did you talk too much about the formation? Obviously, you know, it's a formation that we favoured a lot over the course of the last year. It's one we've played. I mean, every now and then Bose does switch it up. He decided not to yesterday. Would you have changed the formation? It's hard to predict how much of a difference it would have made when we didn't change it. So,
yeah, and I guess as well, you heard Bowie there quite frustrated that we have players with Knox. I mean, he might have changed up the formation if Kyle was fit. He might have given Kyle a go, but sometimes his hands are tied whether or not what formation he can do. And the diamond has worked for us, so he went with that yesterday. So yeah, again, it's hard to change. But no, I agree with the guys coming. Lecco coming off the bench, last couple games Lecco hasn't looked as good. I'd definitely be up for Chuck starting next game. I think he's had a couple good sub appearances now. I'd like to see him start. And if that is in the spot of Lecco, I think would be a good, if the game's not going our way, good set of legs to
bring on. I was
going to
say, he could be very lively coming off the bench. But what I've liked about him at games so far this season, and I'll admit he hasn't had the best last couple of games, but even yesterday I still think he put over a good cross for Lockyer, and he did a couple of bits in the first. He set up the chance for Hemed in the first half. He did really well to win a corner just before half time. What I do like the fact is, because there has been games where we've started really well this season with Lecco pushing teams onto the back foot. I remember the Barnsley away game as one in particular, of course that Forest game where we were unbelievable in that first half. I do think, you know, it can be a bit of shock and awe in the first half when all of a sudden you're thinking, right, let's get ourselves settled into the game, and you've got Charlton coming at you 90 miles an hour. So yeah, I can see the argument for him coming off the bench, but I can also see why Bayer would like to start him as well. And like I say, I rate him. I do think he's someone who can do something out of nothing. But sometimes, obviously, it doesn't always come off. That's what being your tricky winger is all about. And as Terry, I think it was, said last week, or someone certainly said last week, if he was going to do that consistently every game, he'd still be at West Brom. He wouldn't be with us. And that's the situation. Mike Ray said he's missing Charlton Live this evening because he's playing snooker first. He's doing a bit of exercise, his first bit of exercise since the Football to Amsterdam ride back last year. So he's going to catch up with the podcast. Well, yeah, don't forget, the Football to Amsterdam, I think it's signed. You can start signing up for next year now. A few of us are saying we're going to do it. So if you're interested in that, drop me a tweet and I'll direct you towards the right people and we'll think about it. Right, Mark says, yeah, I think we need to give Macaulay Bon a start over Tommy Hemed. So that's another one who'd like to see McCauley coming in. George says, play him if he's in the squad. He can't do any worse. How's he going to learn at this level if you don't play him? Again, for McCauley, Bond. So a couple of people calling for Bond. And Tom does the same. We need to start Bond and Chucks and EK rather than Hemed and Lecco in the next game. Do you think that's a pairing that could work together?
Yeah. I think it could. There's pace and power there. And as I can't remember who you said, but someone tweeted there, Hemed hasn't shown us anything in the last two games. So if you're McCauley, Bond, and you're not getting a start, then knocking on Boyer's door saying, come on, look, he's not doing anything worthwhile. Give me a go. I'll show you what I can do. So, again, it's their application in training to show what they can do. I'm sure Boyer's watching that and seeing. But, again, if we've got an under-23 game or a behind-closed-door friendly, let's give these guys some minutes to get some confidence behind them, because yesterday I thought we just looked a bit rusty with players who haven't had many minutes behind them so far.
Certainly right. Tony would give Bond a go as well. He might surprise someone. He could be a diamond in the rough. He says Chucks and EK also deserves a fair crack of the whip. 100%. Charlton again, everyone's saying give him a go. Yes, give Bond a go. He scored goals for fun before coming to us. I know it's a big step up, but until he plays and gives it a go, how can we judge if he's ready or not? He might surprise us and Boyer. He can't be any worse than what we're watching at the moment. Ray, I said before the season started that Bond would be the surprise package, but he has to play first alongside Lyle Taylor would be my choice. I'm guessing Ray's very patient then, because we're not going to see Lyle Taylor for a while. Dimley says just do it. He's 24 next month. He needs to start playing soon. He's not a youngster. He should be old enough now to handle the job in front of him. It's professional football. Feed him to the Wolves and see how he fares. Don't pussyfoot around the guy. So a lot of people calling for McCauley Bond. Matt says I'd like us to see to play Bond against Leeds and go for it. We need to see two up top rather than one striker. For me, Chucks and EK deserves his chance and could definitely do the Lyle role if given time. Right, Martin said, I believe he said this in the ground to you as well, Benji. He said we should not play Saar. The Saar of 4 years ago when he first joined has reared its ugly head. He looked bereft of any confidence yesterday. We can't play the same system we do for Lyle with Hemed because he just doesn't have the same work rate. So, I mean, yeah, Saar was talked about yesterday, I understand.
Yeah, no, he did look shaky, didn't he? It was the old Saar where we kind of were nervous when he was touching the ball. But again, I feel sorry for players that haven't had minutes behind them. We're chucking them in there and then they are looking rusty. But as me and you said earlier, it wasn't a case of we were letting a goal in because of a mistake like that.
I do wonder if, I mean, but I'm sure I've been guilty of it in the past. In your back of your mind, you can remember that Naby Saar wasn't the best player when he first joined, which is probably a fair statement. And then when things start getting tough, people automatically think, well, maybe a certain player is back to their level. I just wonder if it's sort of a mental thing as well, because like I said, I don't think he completely stood out yesterday. I thought tended to be reasonably solid at the back. But then, I mean, Martin also mentioned about we can't play the same system for Lyle, with Hemed as we do for Lyle, because he says he hasn't got the same work. I mean, you were just looking at some of his time with QPR last season. You thought he was more often than not in a two up top. So you wonder if he suits that more?
Yeah, maybe. I was just looking at him last season, and he often had another striker with him.
I think he scored 7 goals in his time at QPR, but at the same time, the QPR fans weren't overly complimentary of him, so I don't really know how to read that one.
It's a hard one to call, isn't it? Because like, when we've had players before, we thought they're really good, and then other teams would be like, what, he's rubbish. Like someone like Prattley, I guess. He's become a real good player for us of late, and Bolton, you ask Bolton fans, they thought Prattley was rubbish, so it's hard to call, but it's... Next week against Leeds is either going to be working Hemed in a different way, maybe putting more players around him if you're not going to put two up front, or starting Bond with him, maybe, or starting Bond with an Iki, as we said. So, yeah.
Well, Richard Franco Franklin says, are we all washing our hands of Hemed then after only 2 starts? He's a proven scorer at championship level, but is clearly lacking match sharpness due to a lack of football recently. Charlton need to develop a way to play without Lyle Taylor rather than expect someone to do the same job He does. It was a bit of back and forth, and like Tony was saying, we're not washing our hands of him, but until he's up to full fitness, someone else deserves a chance. But then Richard says, well, how would he regain that match sharpness without playing? From what I've seen of him, he's completely different centre forward to Lyle Taylor. Expecting him to hair round like Taylor does is simply ridiculous. If we're unprepared to change how we play in Taylor's absence, then maybe Bon is worth a try. So is, again, people talking about whether we need to find a better system to suit Tommy Ahmed. Now, London Innit Geezer, I said, what do we need to do to turn around our luck from the last couple of games? London Innit Geezer says, the club needs to employ me, simple as. Give me £30,000 a year, free travel, beer money, and match ticket guaranteed, not to lose ever. My record speaks for itself. Get rid of the stats, people, not needed. Just me and my powers. I've proved myself time and time again. It's simple. London Innit Geezer has got like an incredible record of going to a lot of games without seeing us lose. So maybe that is the job we need to take. I mean, I would take a job for that money. You get free food, free match ticket. I'll be up for that. Right, Richard Justin, why did we get so many midfielders in the window? It feels that we're unbalanced. So obviously we do have a lot of midfield options. The first thing, as we've seen, is, I mean, we need a squad in the Championship. We probably just about got away without having one last season in terms of we didn't often make too many changes. We didn't have that big a squad in the Championship, you know. There's no room for manoeuvre, really. You get an injury and you need to have someone of a reasonable quality to come in and back them up. But of course, we haven't perhaps yet got someone who's Lyle Taylor's quality, but at the same time, strikers like that don't grow on a tree, do they? So I guess you could argue that's why we might feel a bit unbalanced.
Yeah, but these days, most clubs just play with one striker up front, don't they? And that's what we've been doing so far this season. So, we've got, if you'd count Aniki as a striker as well, we've got four strikers at the club. And I'm sure we'll all feel a lot more positive if these other strikers had scored a goal for us. Then we wouldn't be looking around for other strikers. I guess we're looking at our options and thinking, oh, we haven't got much else because they've not done anything so far. But look, as the other guy said there, it is too early to judge Hemed yet. He has got a good record for Brighton and he did score goals last season in the Championship, so it's a case of us not getting carried away and feeling down about the last two games. But let's look for the positives and see what this guy can do. There's still so many games left of the season, and Lyle will be missing for, as you said, another 6 weeks to go now. So
yeah, minimum probably. Yeah, but we'll see as it goes. All right, Tim Jackson says Oshilaja wanting to play as a third striker left us open on our right so many times, and no one was covering him. Bon and Anike were both brilliant after coming on. Start them together next weekend up top. Hemed doesn't need time; he just needs dropping. Yeah. And then he says play Leko on the right of the midfield. Rag says we've been on a long run, it can't last forever in terms of the defeat. So Lawrence Coleman again, another one who wants to see Bon start against Leeds. Sebo, I'm putting things in perspective. We are still ahead of schedule. When you get results like we have in the last two games, it's vitally important not to panic, particularly after promotion. It's also important not to get too high when we win or too low when we lose. The wise words of Alan Kirbishley there, I believe, Sebo. So yeah, it certainly is. Like I say, if these two defeats had come dotted around the course of the season so far, we wouldn't be feeling how we do, but it's just everything sort of coming together at once, really. Two defeats and no Lyle Taylor. Jonathan Ackworth says start Bon and an EK, not Leko and Hemed for the next game. Right, we're going to have a quick break here on Charlton Live. We've still got your emails to come. Don't forget, we're also going to ask you whether you'd be in favour of VAR being introduced to the Championship, because Lee Bowyer is, and we'll hear from him on that subject later on in the show.
Going to break for Vetticelli again in the area. Cross ball to Taylor! It's 3-1! And Charlton are running away with it here at the Valley!
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Sunday evening. Sorry, Benji just got up and was wandering around the room. I don't think he realised how short the advert there. That was Lyle Taylor's goal against Luton last season. You can tell Lyle was really bored at the moment. Sat at home because he can't go out. We can't do any training, of course, with his injury. He was going through Twitter. He somehow stumbled across one of my old tweets talking about that game and that beer commentary. And Lyle was like, I can't wait to get playing again to make Louis start screaming like a girl again. So there we go. Something to look forward to. I am looking forward to Taylor getting back in the team. I do think we're missing him. so far. Right, a couple of emails come in. McSquared said, life without Lyle. And this is one, an attempt at a pun here. It looks like we're going to, yeah, I've got to get back to the drawing board. We're looking toothless without Lyle. That must be of extreme concern, as we're going to be without him for some time. First of all, let's try and talk about Wigan. We're turning it into we're going to. I mean, that doesn't work. But yeah, I mean, that is the thing. We're without Lyle Taylor. And it, the other thing I do wonder if that does, I mean, because you look at that first half performance yesterday and you think, is there a little bit of the players know we haven't got our best player on the pitch now? And does that automatically take 15% confidence away from you as well?
Yeah, I think so. He's a talisman for our squad, isn't he? And it's not just, sometimes it's not even just his play. It's just he is running down a channel which brings other players into the game. He's made himself a leader on the pitch as well. Always seems to have a good argument with the referee during the game and with different players. Lots of different photos of Lyle as well, pulling different faces. He likes winding up players on the pitch. So yeah, oh, of course it does. If a team doesn't have their star player on the pitch, then it affects players' heads. So again, that's something maybe Boyer feels that the players didn't have before, but now maybe needs to address it and think, look, Lyle's not playing today. I know it's a blow, because I'm sure all of us, if we said, oh, one player's going to be injured, who don't you want it to be? It would be Lyle, wouldn't it? I mean, he's been our star player last season and again started so well this season. So yeah, it is a blow, and football does. It mentally does you in, doesn't it? When you think about things like that, different aspects of the game. So it's about addressing that now, because we can't keep saying it every week.
Yeah.
Until he's back, we've got to work out a different way of playing.
All right, Mark Newbury, evening chaps. From all the doom and gloom going around online, you'd think we were 10 points from safety with 3 games to go. It's a pretty solid start, and those worrying about the next run of games should have a bit more belief in Boyer to turn it around. Yes, we are missing Lyle Taylor, but it means others have to step up. A goal from a corner from one of the centre-halves or a midfield striker, as we have talented guys there, I'm sure it will happen. We don't turn into a bad team overnight, and going back to 4-4-2 might help. As for the Phillips out brigade, they can all do one. Neither of the goals yesterday were his fault, and he pulls off some excellent saves. Do they think having Amos would solve the scoring problem? Personally, I'd like to see Bond get a start and move Lecco to the wing, as we do look a little unbalanced sometimes. I think Leeds will underestimate us, so we can take advantage of that and stick free past them. Yeah, wise words there from Mark. Thanks for your email, Mark. Hopefully we'll see you soon. Right, Deal Addict. Now, this is someone else who is claiming to have magic powers now. So the blip is over. I'm back from my holiday. I missed the Oxford game as well too, so that's no coincidence. I'm guessing that Deal Addict has missed the last 2 games, and he missed the Oxford game last season that we lost. I mean, you have to ask in this situation why they're going on holiday.
It just seems silly, doesn't it?
Yeah. Do they really love Charlton? Are they a proper Charlton, or are they a plastic if they're going to go on holiday and not make us win?
Oh, I hope they're betting on it as well, getting some money, and if they know we're going to lose, yeah. Tell us all.
Yeah, exactly. Right. One in from Green Pea. Says, Louis, for your show tomorrow night, this was sent last night, even though we're all disappointed by the results, certain fans took it upon themselves to abuse our players on the train on the way home. Yes, we were all hurting, but that doesn't excuse the abuse certain players took on the train last night. It was not necessary. Now, I'm not entirely sure what this relates to. I don't know if anyone has any more information out there. I know a couple of players were on your train. I don't think there was abuse. I know there's some singing, like joining in, like, yeah, celebrating
people,
the players.
People were,
yeah,
singing a song to Oshilaja, which he was laughing along with. Obviously, the song kept going on and on, and he was just a bit tired about it. But from what I saw, I got off the train with him at King's Cross, two of them, Aniki and Oshilaja. And they seemed all right. From what I saw, no one was singing in bad taste to them at all. They were just bit merry. I had a couple drinks on the way home and was singing to two players. I mean, football these days, we don't get to see the players that much. And yeah, it all seemed fine from where I was. But of course, there might have been some worse stuff happening along the train. I don't know.
Yeah, well, actually, it was nothing too serious. It seemed like it's one of those days yesterday, wasn't it? Like, the trains were all pretty screwed up on the way back. Well, it was really weird, actually. So, we were sitting in the bar opposite the station just waiting for our train and looking at the trains, and every single train was really screwed up, like half an hour delayed. The one after ours was delayed by an hour, apart from our one, which was coming in on time. I thought, that's really weird. And not only did our one come in on time, we got back to London 20 minutes earlier. So, an absolute win there. But, yeah, the trains were messed up. But it's one of those ones, like, you put it down to experience and that, but you still can have a good day of it. Certain Charlton fans mixing with former political advisors as well was quite an interesting one, wasn't it? I mean, seeing the chaps, what's the name of the guy they were with?
Alistair Campbell.
Yeah. On the train. By the sounds of it, trying to convert Vince and these mates off Brexit onto something else. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those days where, you know, you put it down as a bad afternoon, a disappointing day, but you can still have fun with your friends, you can still enjoy the social side of going to watch Charlton as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's what football's all about, isn't it, really? The social side of it, going with your mates, having a sing-song and that. And when we pulled into King's Cross, everyone was still having a merry sing-song. Didn't see any hatred towards it at all. The players walked off back onto the tube. Yeah, it was all good fun, but obviously a shame with the result. But as Sebo said, we need to remember where we are now. We're in the championship. We are going to suffer a few losses. It's how we react.
Mm. Right, now, something that's been in the news quite a lot this season, because, of course, VAR has been introduced to Premier League football. We saw it sort of firsthand in the World Cup, didn't we, in 2018. It was... I thought it was used pretty well in the World Cup. So when they said it was coming to the Premier League, I thought, okay, let's see how it goes. Now, we then had it in the Women's World Cup last year, and then some slightly stranger decisions started coming up, and you're like, okay, and it started to slow the game down, and there was a bit of this, a bit of that. And now this season, we've seen a few goals in the Premier League that looked like perfectly legitimate goals to the naked eye, and then when VARs checked them, there's been fouls in there. There's been minor offsides. There's been bits and pieces like that. And so it tended to be that VAR checks it. It finds the foul and it says it's a foul and the goal goes away. So you can't really argue that it's not implementing the rules as they stand. Now, there are a lot of questions about, I mean, the offside goal in particular for Spurs yesterday, where the guy's was like an inch offside and like his shoulder was offside. It was very tight. Things like that. Have caused controversy. There was one actually today. So I wanted to set up this bit to talk about VAR because Boyer had said it was asked about it yesterday and it would have fitted in quite nicely with the Naby Sarr penalty. So while I was typing the story, I was watching the game that was on this afternoon between Chelsea and Liverpool. I'm not going to give away the score in case anyone's waiting to watch it on Match of the Day, but there was a controversial moment with that at the exact time I pressed publish on my story. So it's like perfect because everyone will be talking about VAR and all of a sudden there's Lee Bowyer talking about VAR. So I want to know if you guys would like to see a VAR introduced into Championship football. It gets the rules, it checks them, it makes them right, but it does delay the game. It does disallow goals that, if we're being honest, wouldn't have been disallowed last year. You're going to be celebrating a goal. You don't know if it's going to stand. It could be ruled out in 2 minutes' time. Things like that. Lee Bowyer was asked about VAR yesterday. Let's hear what he has to say first. The Alex boss sees absolutely no reason why it shouldn't be introduced into Championship football.
Well, why not? If it's that important that just they get the right decision for the Premiership, then why is it not as important in our division? Because you've got teams that are trying to get into the Premiership. So financially, it'd be great for our club to get in there. So why should they have a different set of rules to us? Because they have. They've got a different set of rules to what we've got. So... our officials haven't got the help that the Premier League officials have got. So why should that happen? That's not right. At the end of the day, everybody should be treated the same. If you're going to have this VAR, then just spread it around so everybody gets it. The refs need help. It's just the hardest job, I think, in the world. I would never do it. You can't win. So I think they need all the help they can get.
So, Lee Bowyer, very much in favour of VAR being introduced into Championship football. Now, like I say, just the timing of the way it happened this afternoon with the goal being ruled out in the Chelsea-Liverpool game. So I'm not going to give away any scorers or anything like that or what the final score was. I'm interested to know whether you'd like it in Championship football now. So obviously we haven't been on the receiving end of it so far. I mean, one game that stood out for me was when Man City went to West Ham earlier on in the season. I mean, they battered them, but they had about four goals disallowed for under VAR. Now, in normal time, I mean, you can understand, you know, goals get ruled out because the officials spot an offside and they put their flag up. And sometimes you don't notice until after, but pretty much you celebrate for a couple of seconds, like, oh, the flag's up or the whistle's gone, you've heard something. Now, the amount of times that the goals can get ruled out after 2 minutes, and sure, sometimes it's the right decision. In fact, it almost is entirely the right decision. But a lot of people are worried that it's going to take away that moment where, you know, the best moment in football is when the goal hits the back of the net. And you're celebrating, and sure, sometimes it can get taken away, but if we're seeing it more and more getting taken away 30 seconds after the goal, it was like a minute after the goal in the game I saw this afternoon, it was probably even longer yesterday in the Spurs game, because, I mean, to be honest, I saw Spurs had gone 2-0 up when I was in the press room, and I walked up to the thing, and I had no idea the goal had been disallowed until like 5 minutes later. I mean, it can take a long time. Does it risk... Are we risking striving for perfection too much, or... Are we saying, well, you know what? There is a lot of money involved, as Bowie's just said there. These are £100 million decisions in some cases. We need to get it right.
Yeah, I guess there's getting it right. And there is being trying to be too perfect with decisions. I mean, that Tottenham one you mentioned yesterday was ridiculous, wasn't it? It was so tight. You're talking a tight... I mean, they literally, I saw... on Twitter, they had to bring out the lines to show how they made it. It wasn't even down to like, oh, let's look at a camera. They showed lines of how they made the decision. I mean, it is getting a bit silly. And for Boya saying we all need it, if you're saying we all need it, then you've got to do a Championship, League One, League Two. And doing it in the Premiership at the moment is more of a trial run, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I hope so.
So, yeah. And as you're saying, like, I just think back to the playoff final was one of the best feelings ever when that goal hit the back of the net. I still think VAR might have ruled that goal out for Pearce on the back of the defender.
They would have looked at Pearce 100 times, wouldn't they? They would have slowed it down, and it always looks worse when it's slowed down as well, which is another worry.
Because he shoves his arms up as well.
So we're talking about, so yesterday, I think we would have got a penalty for that Naby Sarr thing. So we would have been the beneficiaries of that yesterday. So does that change your opinion at all? You know, do you think, well... We have been a little bit mugged off there because we should be coming back. You know, it should have been 1-0 at that point if we'd scored our penalty.
Yeah, I guess you're right in that regard. But then it could turn around next week and it could happen. I mean, again, this discussion goes down every pub every week when people are watching down the football these days. Don't they? VAR this, VAR that. But the beauty of football, a lot of people used to think, was 1 minute it comes around, swings and roundabouts, doesn't it? Decisions like that. So... It's hard because, yeah, we could have been a beneficiary of it yesterday, but I can't believe how the ref was stood right there on that one. So imagine, like, oh, playing on, and then VAR says, oh, by the way, mate, I know you were stood right there, but it was a blatant penalty. It's hard to call, isn't it? Like, don't know how you'd say it.
I mean, a lot of the implementation and people have pointed at VAR is actually the fact that there's new rules for handball as well. So there's been other ones where... I mean, the one that I can specifically remember was Leicester versus Wolves, where I remember watching it. Like, I already knew the score. I thought I knew it'd finished 0-0, and watching a goal for Wolves, I think it was, and going, oh, I thought this game finished 0-0. And then it took about a minute to decide. I mean, there was a slightest touch of handball in there. Now, that is sort of actually where it's the change of the rules so that any touch of your hand that leads to a goal, whether you mean it or not, is going to be disallowed. So there is a slight crossover between the new rule and VAR in that circumstance. But again, I mean, it's ruling out goals that you never would have seen ruled out before because the referee never would have seen that. So again, are we striving for perfection and taking away that moment that Wolves fans had? Or are we saying, well, Leicester fans, they didn't deserve to see their team concede there because there was a handball in it?
Yeah, I mean, you had Bale in the week. He scored a perfect goal.
Yeah.
And as he's controlled the ball... It's brushed off his hand, didn't change the movement of the ball at all. He scored, gone like, hey, we're back in the game. And suddenly VAR's ruled it out for that. I mean, it's crazy, like, for what do you do? Yeah.
So I asked earlier if fans would be interested in having VAR. I mean, a couple of them TJ said, all fun and games until Boya celebrates a last minute goal and then ends up kicking down the VAR box and strangling the referee because he gets disallowed. Reese says no. Adam says no. The Boya had a dream says, instead of having it introduced to the championship, he says, better still, take VAR away. Full stop. Gareth Thompson says, haven't experienced it in a stadium, definitely not. So the argument is between getting everything correct, getting everything perfect, and taking away some of the spontaneous celebrations that you have in football. And I having watched it more and more in the Premier League, I'm sort of leaning towards no, I'm not sure I want to see that again now. I mean, I enjoy there's been too many times, even the England women, when they equalised against the USA and then White scored a goal, I celebrated the goal and then 2 minutes later it's an inch offside. You're like, for God's sake, like, again, that you just wish the linesman had got it in the first place, didn't you?
Oh, I remember last year, the one that comes to mind was when it was the Champions League against Man City Tottenham and Pep ran right down the touchline, didn't he, and went crazy, and for a VAR to rule that out, it's just... But then in the same game, you had Llorente kind of come off his hand for a handball and it wasn't given. So I don't... Again, VAR's not perfect. Do we give it to the end of the season and see what happens then with it to bring it into our league? Yeah, I think it is on a trial run. Can it get better? I think the worst bit about it is the timing. It seemed, again, today it took so long for them to work out whether it was a goal or not. But the worst bit is just celebrations. Imagine us, like, at Wembley, celebrating that goal like we all did for it to be ruled out.
There we go. So there we go. That's our discussion on VAR. You can still have your say if you want. Tweet us at Charlton Live. Now, this afternoon was the Legends game. Benji, I didn't get down there, unfortunately. I had stuff on to prepare for this evening show. But you went down. Which Legends were there? Which ones did you... It was an enjoyable day down at Cray, celebrating Cray Valley, 100 years of their club, with a few of our players who were nearer to 100 than when they did play.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. There was quite a few goals. I think it finished 6-5, was it?
Yeah.
So, it was nice to see Jacko out there, Jason Yule. There was a few players that they said were going to play, but weren't there in the end. But John Fortune still looked in really good shape, actually. Marcus Bent was there. I haven't seen him play for a long time. But Kevin Lisby, actually, I think his couple of his sons come on and they took the game very seriously. And one of them scored a really good goal, actually.
Yeah.
It was a nice day out for that. I know Lisby's done well there as a player as well. Yeah. So it's a really good setup and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, they got to Wembley, didn't they? Is there any of those legends who you think could still get a run out here? Because I remember when we had the 100 years. Back to the Valley? We had,
Back to the Valley.
Yeah, the Back to the Valley celebrations, 25 years game. I remember Boya coming on and he really looked the part still at that point. So is there anyone? Could Jacko still hack it? Could Marcus Bent be the answer to our striker shortage at the moment?
Marcus Bent, he didn't do too much, to be fair. He kept he kept on the wing. Jacko played a few neat little passes but seemed quite knackered towards the end. But I mean,
his legs have gone now.
Well, I don't... he did run a marathon, didn't he? So he's still got it. Paul Hayes, actually, he played. He looked quite trim still. I know, is he a coach at the club for youth level, I think? He looked all right, actually, to be fair to him.
Yeah, excellent stuff. So, and it was all for charity as well. And Pally was down there managing and Keith Peacock. So it sounded like it was quite a nice Charlton event. Was there a lot of fans there?
I think there was about 400-odd fans there. Chris Powers there with his flat cap on. Looked like he was enjoying himself, having a laugh. Grant Basie played as well.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Yeah, right. Sebo says, if VAR cannot make its mind up, then the original decision of the on-field ref stands. Yeah, so that's another one. So, I mean, that's why it's... Because decisions aren't black and white. It's not goal line technology. That's the other thing. So there's something like... in cricket, they have the umpire's call. So if an offside is so tight, should there be an umpire's call? I've seen some people suggesting that. But, I mean, someone else... I mean, Graham Souness said it on the telly today. He says, if you're offside, you're offside. So that is all. So it's hard to say. But certainly with fouls are sort of... It's down to someone's interpretation of what they've just seen. So you could get five people and have five different opinions on the tackle you've just seen. So that's why it's so hard to sort of make your mind up on that. Right, women's team, they lost 3-0 at home to Brighton today, unfortunately, so they still haven't scored a goal this season. That was in the Continental Cup group stage. It's only a group stage, so they're not out of the competition yet, but they still haven't had the greatest start to the season, unfortunately. So, yeah, hopefully they'll improve. Now, we've got a couple of minutes left, so we do need to look ahead to the week coming up. Worst case scenario now, we're playing Leeds United, we're playing Swansea. Is it Fulham after that as well?
Fulham after that.
We've got three tough games coming up now. If we lose all three, which hopefully we won't, but is it panic stations then, or is it, let's put it in perspective, the fact that we've played three of the bigger teams in this division?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to lose all three. As someone emailed in earlier, let's have a bit of faith in Lee Bowyer. We know he's a great manager. I've never heard him sound that disappointed after yesterday. So he's feeling the frustration because it's annoying, the few niggles he's had in the team, especially Kai Al. Again, I think Brighton, when he come over from Brighton, he was like one of the big signings we made. And if we're suffering these injuries, it's a blow. But look, I can't see us losing all three of those games. I know they're hard prospects, but sometimes we turn up when it's a hard game like that. We definitely did last season in the big game. So, I think it depends on the defeats, really. If we don't score in those three games, then, yeah, I can see people getting very panicky and frustrated.
It's going to be a very interesting week or two for the Addicts. Right, we've run out of time here on this evening's Charlton Live. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Thank you to all of you who's got involved with your emails, your tweets, your forum posts and whatnot. We'll be back here on Thursday evening with a big match preview ahead of the game against Leeds United. We look forward to seeing you again then. Benji, thanks for your company this evening.
Thank you.
We shall see you again soon. I am Louis Mendes. I hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back here on Thursday. Let's hope the Charlton can get back to winning ways as soon as possible. We shall see you on Thursday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.